Thousands of years ago, scientists say the Mendenhall Glacier reached the ocean. About 250 years ago, Mendenhall Lake and some valley neighborhoods, Back Loop and Dredge Lakes, were still covered in a thick sheet of glacial ice. Now, the glacier is a small fraction of that size, and thousands of people live beneath it. The ice is shrinking fast.
Right there, another calving space.
I'm on a research helicopter with Jason Amundsen, a glaciologist at the University of Alaska Southeast. We land on the glacier, just a quarter mile from where massive chunks of ice crash into Suicide Basin. It's a slurry of water, icebergs, and silver silt rising between jagged peaks. And it's the source of Juno's annual glacial outburst flood.
The first year I was up here, we had a GPS receiver on the ice in the basin. You could just walk out there.
That was more than a dozen years ago. What was once solid ice is now an immense pool. Think 24,000 Olympic swimming pools worth of water. It's about as wide as four cruise ships lined up end to end, and it plunges about 1,300 feet deep. That's nearly as deep as Lake Superior, the deepest of the Great Lakes. And as Suicide Basin has gotten bigger, so have the glacial outburst floods. Climate change has sharpened the risk of glacial outburst floods. In recent years, their size has increased as the glacier has melted more rapidly. Scientists today are trying to figure out how big the floods can get. David Poloshensky treks to a narrow ridge of ice. He's a postdoctoral researcher with the University of Alaska Southeast, and he's here to pilot a drone over Suicide Basin.
And so over time, this calving front that we're standing on Mendenhall Glacier has slowly retreated towards us.
The drone zips along a preset path, taking thousands of pictures that he will stitch together into a high-resolution image. A series of these images will tell researchers how much Suicide Basin has grown and help them estimate how much water it can hold. That information is crucial for assessing the threat to the Mendenhall Valley, where an estimated 12,000 people live.
Any engineered solution is going to need to know how big could Suicide Basin get. And its current size, double its current size, triple its current size. We need to know how much water we'll be dealing with.
Glacial outburst floods are not uncommon in Alaska or in other places with glaciers around the globe. They're just not happening where lots of people live in the United States, except here in Juneau. Hundreds of people in Juneau's Mendenhall Valley are living on the front line of a climate change disaster they didn't see coming. From KTOO Public Media, this is Outburst, the story of how a freezing cold disaster has escalated faster than human imagination and public policies to protect people. I'm your host, Alex Solomon, climate and environment reporter at KTOO in Juneau. This is episode 2, How We Got Here. The glacier's retreat revealed Mendenhall Valley. Many years later, people started farming here. Some of the earliest written accounts of flooding are from them. But it wasn't understood to be glacial outburst flooding back then. About 7 miles downstream from Suicide Basin, Marion Hobbs sits at Grumpy's Deli in Mendenhall Mall and remembers a flood from the early 1960s. He was a kid when it happened. He sketches a map of his childhood home near Mendenhall Lake and points to a square next to the river.
We used to have an outhouse right here. We couldn't get to it. It was flooded. But I remember the water coming.
He says water rose within 60 or 70 feet of his family's cabin, where Marion Drive is now. The street is named after him. Hobbs points to his mom's entry in a book called Gastineau Channel Memories, a collection of family histories put together by Juneau residents. In it, she wrote that pockets of water near the face of the glacier broke loose, releasing the flood.
There was only 7 houses in the whole west side of the Mendenhall Valley at this time. Mendenhaven or nothing existed.
Back then, he says the valley was made up of a handful of homesteads. Cattle grazed pastures beside the river. After that flood, Hobbs remembers going down to their fields of oats and barley.
And my dad was really upset because all the crops we had planted were just laid flat. The ground was just covered with nothing but silt from the river. Everything was just gray and wasted.
An official record of glacial outburst floods on the Mendenhall began in 2011, when scientists had enough information to identify the source. But before then, there were years with seemingly random floods. Enough of them that the city had identified a flood problem that threatened future development and asked the federal government to look into it. In the early 1970s, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers logged a few floods from the early to mid-1900s that hit the valley before there were river gauges. They hadn't identified the cause yet. But the report had a serious finding. It said, if these floods occurred today, there would be substantial damage because of increased development in the area. Even by the late 1990s, scientists hadn't figured out that a glacial outburst could be the source of the floods. But there were some clues.
I wasn't even really considering glacier outburst floods on the Mendenhall, except that maybe they've happened in the past.
That's Ed Neal. He was a hydrologist with the U.S. Geological Survey then and authored a report of the Mendenhall River in 1999 that laid out possible flood scenarios. In it, he didn't predict floods as large as the community has experienced over the last couple of years. But he remembers researching a flood from an earlier USGS report that happened late in the summer of 1961, around the time Hobbs remembers one. It was estimated to have been a bit bigger than the devastating flood of 2023. He says there wasn't enough rainfall at the time to explain it.
I thought, oh, maybe that had a different source, but it never reoccurred.
Neal knew about glacial outburst floods and that they usually reoccur. So the 1961 flood seemed like an anomaly to him. And because there was no data to verify how big it was, he didn't feed it into the model projecting future floods. But now, researchers suspect that early flood could have been a glacial outburst. Hindsight is 20/20. Over just a couple of decades, scientists in Juneau went from being unsure whether glacial lake outbursts caused the Mendenhall Valley to flood to studying it closely under the watchful eyes of the public. Just ask Aaron Jacobs, a senior hydrologist at the National Weather Service.
So it seems like we need impactful events for the university and the scientists to get our funding so we can do this work so then we can prepare better in the future.
He says the first time researchers got funding to study the size of Suicide Basin was after the 12-foot flood in 2016, the record at the time. But they could only get a partial picture then. That's because Suicide Basin did what's called a partial release. It didn't completely empty out. They finally got the chance to measure the full volume of the basin just 2 years ago, when it emptied after the 2023 flood. But because it changes size, they must return again and again. Back on the glacier, the researchers aren't just thinking about the next few floods. They're trying to predict the distant future.
We're going to move this a little bit so that it doesn't fall into this crack.
That's Amundsen again, the glaciologist. He hauls a high-precision GPS antenna out of the ice. A deep blue fracture appeared inches from where the researchers installed it a few weeks ago. Right now, the rapidly melting glacier means bigger floods. But in the future, it could mean smaller ones. Amundsen is measuring how quickly the glacier flows into Suicide Basin by lodging the GPS into the ice and tracing how it moves over time. He uses a contraption called a steam drill to reinstall the GPS on a safer patch of ice.
It is basically a pressure cooker. So we've got a little propane canister connected to a, if I open this up, it would look like a...
It heats up like a camp stove and sends steam through a long hose that he uses to melt a small hole about 15 feet straight down into the ice. Aluminum poles go into the melt holes, freeze into place, and hold a small wooden platform with the GPS attached. Nearby, the scientists track how fast the glacier is thinning by measuring a long pink wire they fed deep into the ice earlier this summer.
So in the last month, there's been something like a meter or 3 feet of melt that happens, which is pretty typical this time of year.
It's no surprise that the ice is melting fast, and even faster in the heat of summer. The top layer looks like crushed ice cubes dumped from a drink cooler. It's an uneven landscape of steep ridges and miniature valleys. Stunning blue rivulets carve channels into the surface that disappear into dark crevasses. As humans pump greenhouse gases into the atmosphere, the planet is heating up, and it's not baking evenly. Alaska is warming at least twice as fast as the rest of the United States. The Mendenhall is one of more than 1,000 glaciers fed by the Juneau Ice Field, a rapidly liquefying ice plateau about the size of Rhode Island that caps the coast range straddling the border between Southeast Alaska and British Columbia. Glaciologists think that eventually, Suicide Basin won't be a problem for the hundreds of people living downstream anymore. Either the glacier thins so much that the ice dam can't hold enough water to unleash a catastrophic flood, or it retreats so much that there is no ice dam. The researchers are trying to predict when this danger will melt away, and if, years down the line, other pools farther up the glacier could release significant floods. So far, they have identified at least one that looks like Suicide Basin's sister. They don't know much about it yet, but they plan to study it over the next few years to understand if it's a threat. That information will help federal engineers understand the options for a long-term plan to protect the community from flooding. In the next episode, we'll ask, who is responsible for keeping Mendenhall Valley safe? And how?
Okay, and try not to laugh, because people legitimately have asked this question. People have asked the question, right? Could you bomb the glacier?
And the Corps initially said, when I went to them, said, well, Senator, we're gonna work on this. We think it'll be 10 years to study and fix this. Say what? That is the wrong answer.
In Juneau, I'm Alex Solomon, climate and environment reporter at KTOO. This series was the brainchild of Anna Canny and was funded by the Alaska Center for Excellence in Journalism. I wrote this episode. Claire Strempel, Adeline Baxter, and Lisa Fu edited it. Dave Waldron is the audio engineer. The theme music is by James Crawford and Vance Westlake.